All right, let's go down to L.A. He's down there, and that is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. We look through the window of baseball. We got to look very far today. Brought to us by Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce of the Chronicle, how are you?
Good, Marty. How's it going?
Well, it's okay. You know, here we are, and, you know, the Giants had a game last night that had a couple of twists and turns. We won. Buster Posey stole home, and then they took it away from him. Come on. He stole home. I don't get it. I don't get the scoring.
Yeah, well, I flew in here yesterday, and I wasn't able to watch the game. I saw the highlights. All I really saw was the Sandoval homer, so I'm not quite familiar with the Posey thing.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, it's first and third. He's on third, and they send Crawford on a 3-2 pitch. So the batter strikes out. Oh, no, the batter walks. And so Crawford is, of course, awarded second base. Well, the catcher throws through. And the second baseman gets the ball, and he goes to tag Crawford because, frankly, it looked like strike three. And he goes to tag him, and when he does that, Posey breaks for the plate and steals home because Crawford, of course, was, you know, was awarded second base anyway. So it's not Rod Carew. It's not Jackie Robinson. It's not Pete Reiser. But the fact of the matter is he was alert enough on the throw to take off and go home. So they said, well, it's a fielder's choice, which is hard to believe.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And, you know, Posey could really use that on his resume, you know, stole home.
Really?
A threat to do it again, you know.
Really? So that was part of last night. But Sandoval broke the slump last night. And, Bruce, I don't know. You know, there's something, I don't want to say lovable about the guy. There's just something. He's the panda. And even though he stinks and he can't do anything, he broke the 0-for-39 with a big three-run homer. And every time he does something that looks like the old Sandoval, I say, well, gee, maybe there's something there. And I don't want to get deceived by it, but he did hit a big home run last night.
Well, I did see that. I'll tell you, you better hit that pitch out. That might have been the fattest pitch I've seen all year. I mean, it was just a cupcake coming right into his wheelhouse. So, I mean, you better hit that ball hard. I mean, you know, 0-for-39.
It speaks for itself.
I hate the expression, it is what it is, but it's 0-for-39, okay? Yeah. I mean, and but you make a good point. I mean, he's obviously been a plus in terms of just his attitude, you know, the spiritual connection,
right.
You know, in the locker room, in the dugout during tough times. And there's a lot to be said for that. But, you know, next thing you know, it's March and you're trying to rebound from this. To put him at third, to me, would seem quite wrong.
Yeah, it would, and especially if it stopped the progress of someone who should have a shot at it. But, yeah, there's just something about him. You know, when he does hit a home run like that, you have this feeling of, wow, there he is again. But I think 0-for-39, it's tough to ignore that. But then you get him for nothing, and if you bring him in March, if he's in shape and you don't like him at the end of March, you let him go, and I think you're only on the hook for a portion of the $500,000. Forget about the $95 million. You're not on the hook for that. So we'll see. But it was a moment where it was nice. I liked it.
Absolutely. You know, you do root for the guy. His exit from the Giants wasn't that well executed, but he's definitely apologized many times over. And, you know, he is essentially a great guy and with a great history. So we'll see. I mean, the thing he's got to do more than anything is, if I were him, I'd work on this all winter as his right-handed hitting.
Yeah.
Because whether he's with the Giants or somebody else, you know, the guy's a switch hitter. That was one of the great things about him. And he was a very good switch hitter. He was dangerous from both sides. So he needs to resurrect that. If he comes out next spring just raking from the right-handed side, you know, maybe I'd have a different stance on it.
No, you're right. You're right. In fact, the one ball he hit from the right, I think his right-handed hitting, frankly, even in the crazy streak, was better than I thought it would be. I mean, he's not just getting overwhelmed right-handed. I mean, there were a few, you know, the wet newspaper hit swings. But he hit one last night. He hit it to the wall last night, and he's hit a few like that. So, I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm about a 4 on him. Say it's not the end of the world. He's not a gimme. But I'd say there could be something there.
It could be. I mean, you know, for me, if Arroyo shows up in the spring and just hits the cover off the ball and playing a good defense, which he did, his defense was really good. I mean, it's surprisingly good and consistent. And he's a big prize of the organization. You forget about him because he's been gone for so long. But this is a guy that represents a big part of their future, a guy they don't really want to trade. And so we'll see how he looks in the spring. It'll be really interesting. That's a position that's there's big stories to be told there. We just don't know what they are.
Well, it's an important position because it's a power position. And I think that's why Sandoval's around, because if they feel if Arroyo struggles again and there's, who knows what a kid will do, then you want to have someone at least who has some potential to you know, do some damage at third. And they don't really have anybody else at that spot. So that's why they have to decide, do we bring him back or this or in the off season, maybe even, I hate to say it, go after Nunez again or something like that, or bring a third baseman at least who can play. Because if Arroyo couldn't, because Jones is not ready. Jones is not ready.
Yeah, Nunez is going to be moving on from Boston. I saw a note from Nick Cofardo saying that they love him. He's been awesome. But, you know, Pedroia is back at second. Devers has got third base, and Bogart's at short, and the corner outfield is set. So he has really no way to play unless he's a DH. But, you know, they got Hanley Ramirez, so he's probably going to wind up somewhere else. I think Mike Moustakas is an interesting free agent, too.
Yeah,
he's hit a bunch of homers this year, and he's a gamer and all the things the Giants like in a player, so he's maybe somebody to watch.
That'd be great. You know, I want to talk about Arroyo for just a second here with Bruce. Arroyo coming into last year was the guy in the Giants farm system. I mean, he was it, the number one prospect, Christian Arroyo and all this stuff. And then, of course, he goes in spring training. He doesn't do much because they're looking at everybody else. You know, so the Slater, Duggar, Arroyo didn't get a lot of playing time. They really didn't. So then he goes to Sacramento, and the guy hits like 490. And, you know, and he's their number one guy. It's 490 at AAA. They bring him up, and he's got a home run off Kershaw. He's got a hit off Kershaw. And then all of a sudden they start throwing him sliders, and he couldn't touch it. So that happens in life for young players. So they send him back to Sacramento. And three games into it, he breaks his hand. He's out for the season. So my point is this: Arroyo is the guy, and there should you know, he should be the guy. He was the number one guy, and we're sort of putting him in the back burner now. Well, we'll see what he can do. He was the guy, and I think he deserves every chance to start the season and be the guy.
Absolutely, he's really young. I mean, to look at him, he looks like he's about 16. But I mean, he's a hell of a hitter. He really is. And, you know, about 2 weeks into his stint at third base, everybody was saying, well, so we got a third baseman for the next 10 years.
Right.
Because he just looked the part, hitting and fielding. He did have a big trouble with the breaking ball. But I don't think he's helpless against that pitch. I mean, it's certainly you see a lot better breaking balls in the bigs than you do anywhere in the minors. But you don't hit 490 at AAA without banging a few sliders. So, yeah. I mean, I really think there's room for big improvement there. I would not expect him to just be consistently overmatched. That would be shocking if he comes in and that's still a big, big problem.
Yeah, but I think, you know, he is the guy, and he deserves a shot to be the guy. And until he broke his hand, look, introduce him to Matt Williams, Mike Schmidt, and Dave Concepcion, and a few others who couldn't hit and had to be bounced around. And then, you know, not that he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but, you know, that's what happens there. All right, so that's that. You're down in L.A. You're going to see Stanford USC, which is very exciting. I'm sure you're going to – I can't wait to read your stories about it. But the Dodgers, boy, they got to be gripping just a little bit down there, don't they?
Yeah, you know, the dynamic of the team has changed a lot just in terms of personnel. You know, they lost Bellinger for a spell. That hurt them. They lost Corey Seager. He's back right now, but he's got an elbow issue that could flare up again. You know, Adrian Gonzalez came back, but he wasn't hitting, and they, you know, he's now he had an epidural in his back. Just a lot of personnel things. Darvish and Granderson. You know, they pick up these two guys, and everybody's like, well, now they're going to win it by 100 games. They're going to win every postseason game and the greatest team ever and all this stuff. And neither one of them has produced. Darvish has been clearly off, and Granderson's in a big slump. So it's vintage. You know, you got to come down from 91 and 36. They've come down really hard. And an interesting thing to me about it is that, you know, in the early part of the season, everybody was talking about how the Dodgers were using the disabled list almost in a shady manner. They put guys on there. They put starting pitchers on there without any apparent injury. They'd almost make something up. And in an effort to keep them fresh, and, you know, you'd go 4 2/3 and not, you know, you couldn't go 5 necessarily, and they're always looking at the bullpen. And it seemed like kind of revolutionary and cool, but, you know, meanwhile, the rotation of late has has not been good. Kershaw's been great. Even he had a bad outing. They don't worry about him. But I'm not sure they know who their number two starter is in the playoffs. And I don't know, Marty. For me, I bet Brian Sabian and Bobby Evans would say this, there's nothing like having five guys who give you seven good innings. You know, forget the 4-5 stuff and 900 relievers. That doesn't resonate with me. It's obviously a thing that has and will continue to work for some teams, but there's just nothing like having a few horses in there.
Well, say hello to the Cleveland Indians.
Because
the Cleveland Indians to me are the 2010 Giants. I'm telling you. Plus, as we see in sports, they've been there and lost, and Kansas City there and lost, and they win the next year. And there's just something about that. But they're pitching. This is the 2010 Giants. I don't care who you throw out there, you're going to get a great game, and you got a bullpen, and they hit the heck out of the ball when they have to. They're probably a better hitting team than the Giants were. But that starting staff, come on, every guy can go seven, every one of them.
Yeah, and, they're all healthy finally, and it's like, wait a minute now. This is really, really scary. I mean, if they were to play Houston in a series, how good would that be? I mean, love to see that go seven right down to the wire. And, thank goodness the Astros got Verlander when you're going up against Cleveland. But there's an awful lot going on there. The Red Sox and the Yankees might wind up playing each other. How good would that be? So the American League playoffs are really they're looking extremely interesting. The whole picture, of course, it always does. But this year especially, there's some great stuff to look forward to.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the whole thing is just completely fascinating because you got Washington with Dusty and the bullpen and Strasburg. And Scherzer had got hit in the calf. And then last night the Phillies just tattooed him. And then you get Gio. He's never been a great postseason pitcher. And you get the Cubs who are, still looking over their shoulder. I'll tell you this, Luke Weaver that we saw last Sunday and he pitched last night for the Cardinals, this is the real deal. All of a sudden, Carlos Martinez, is that the big kid for St. Louis? He's crushing the ball. I think if the Cubs are looking over their shoulder, they're looking at the Cardinals.
Yeah, they really are. And now with Jimmy Nelson, he's been declared out for the season. The Brewers, a starter. That's a big blow to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely agree that, and again, it's like Red Sox and Yankees, Cubs, Cardinals is one of those, if you're from the Midwest, that's a rivalry you've always paid attention to. It's always intense, and it's not always that close, but of late with the Cubs, obviously being such a great team, it's as good as it's been, that rivalry, in many, many years. So, terrific stuff going on.
Yeah, I love it because, this is what makes baseball right now is the race to the finish because, you've played all these games and now you got 19 to go and you're 2 or 3 behind and now you win 1 or 2, the other team loses 1 or 2 and it's euphoria. You lose 2 and they win 2 and now you're killing yourself. And then you come back and win 2 more, and they win 2. So I love this time of year because this is, for me, the playoffs have started. This is the day-by-day situation right now.
Yeah, when the wild card first came in, I'm thinking, this is kind of lame. I mean, you got to win the race, then you go on to the World Series. But I've completely changed my mind on that. There's nothing like having, 16 teams or whatever it is still, with a chance to win it all here in the middle of September.
Well, I'll tell you something. And Arizona is going to be a wild card team. And if I had to pick a long shot right now, I'll pick them because of their rotation, and they seem to have a bullpen, and the Dodgers are reeling a little bit. You put them in a 7-game series with a rotation, why can't they win?
Yeah, I mean, I would think Greinke pitches the wild card game. That looks like a win. You never know. Who knows if they play the Cubs? God knows what happens. But they got to, their chances with Greinke pitching that game, it would be at home. And then Robbie Ray comes back and opens the playoffs. They need to get Goldschmidt back from his injury, but, that lineup is great. I don't think it's a serious injury for Goldschmidt. They completely dusted the Dodgers. And of course, the Dodgers are kind of reeling, and they've lost a bit of confidence, and Arizona was just sky high. But the bottom line is they're really, really good. They're something like 20 games over 500. I mean, they're going to be a threat.
Well, Corbin, Taijuan Walker.
Yeah, and they got a rotation.
And then Godley goes to the bullpen. He becomes the bridge to the, the eighth inning guy, which is Archie Bradley. And crazy as it is, Rodney is you know, he gets people out. He's throwing better than he ever has. So you said it, and I just agree. The wild card team can be very dangerous here. Once the wild card team, like the Giants have done, if you give me pitching on a wild card team, I'll take my chances. Anything can happen.
Yeah, there's a pretty good history of wild card teams, winning it all or getting to the World Series, and there's no disgrace in it. I mean, you know, the 162 games to just settle on two teams going to the playoffs. It was great at the time, but it doesn't measure up to having all these teams. There's so much suspense. The last week of the American League wild card race is going to be unbelievable. I mean, they might all the eight or nine teams that might be in it. It's completely nuts.
I love it. Very good. Hey, well, have a great afternoon. What time is your game today?
It's 5:30. I'm going to shut off pretty soon here because okay. You never know about the traffic and get myself set up. But, yeah, it should be a beauty.
That'll be terrific. I'll look forward to you. Tomorrow morning we have a short show, but I'm glad we can get you on for a few minutes. Have a good afternoon, yeah. And we'll read everything you do, Bruce. Have a great afternoon.
Okay, talk to you tomorrow morning.
All right, very good. That's Bruce Jenkins. Boy, what a report. That is a baseball report. All right, more coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.